Welcome to the tax update for August, and we have six issues to cover, the first of which relates to the consultation which has been announced by the government looking at the recommendations made by the Office of Tax Simplification to revise and reform the taxation of benefits in kind and the treatment of travel expenses. But it was also going to look at the treatment of accommodation made available by employers to employees, and in particular at the exemptions under representative occupation for the likes of janitors and caretakers. And they're also going to look at the area of the £30,000 exemption, which is available on the termination of an employment where the payment is ex gratia and made by the employer, with the employee actually having no entitlement to this payment. There's significant change, and the consultation closes on 23rd October, so as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which also contain links for further reading. And if this has the potential to affect your clients, then I recommend you take a look at this. You must always remember that in the case of an employer, the cumulative effect of even a small change on the expenses and benefit in kind can add up to huge sums of money. But from a social point of view, this consultation has the potential to affect 25 million employees, and therefore it could be very important. HMRC has also published Agent Update 43, and at 15 pages, this is a worthwhile read for all agents. The government has also published a briefing paper on the changes to pensions. Budget 2014 announced the government's intention to promote a pensions bill which would allow greater flexibility and access for savers in defined contribution scheme, and you may well have clients coming in to seek advice on this. So this is an area where it's essential to keep up to date. The point about a dispute with HMRC is that if you can't resolve it with the officer, you have a number of recourses available, including the HMRC internal review, the alternative dispute resolution, and also the possibility of going to an independent tribunal. But we need to be careful about the costs of the last point, and at the upper tribunal, there has been clarification of how the courts will interpret the rules relating to the tribunal, and in particular relating to time limits. In Leeds City Council versus HMRC, Colin Bishop, who is the president of the first tier tribunal but was sitting as an upper tribunal judge, ruled that time limits should be respected, but a short delay quickly corrected would not prevent a late application for costs awarded to the successful appellant. He's gone on to give a decision in Cumin Educational Company Limited and another that confirms an underlying principle that the tribunals are trying to give access to taxpayers and a system that is fair and just to all. So he's making it quite clear that breaches of time limits, whilst the tribunal would discourage them, he will not punish minor inadvertent breaches that are speedily remedied and lead to no significant prejudice. The upper tribunal has also considered a case involving Lanarkshire Health Trust and Ayrshire and Dumfries Health Trusts. And Lord Tyre at the upper tribunal was asked to consider whether a cost-sharing arrangement between these three NHS trusts could be a trading activity. Now, the taxpayer was David Thompson, who had set up a syndicate to provide a laundry building in Lanarkshire Enterprise Zone. And so the issue was whether this syndicate could claim the 100% capital allowances which is available if a building in an enterprise zone is used for a trading purpose. HMRC said that as the NHS trusts were not attempting to make any profit whatsoever and were merely sharing costs, it could not be trading. Delivering his judgment on the 13th of August, Lord Tyre ruled that all of the arrangements were at arm's length and were conducted in a commercial and businesslike way. He discounted HMRC's argument that the absence of a profit-seeking motive meant it could not be trading. He ruled that Lanarkshire Health Trust did provide the Ayrshire and Dumfries Health Trusts with services for which they charged money, and therefore there was the characteristic of trading, and consequently the laundry facility was a cost-sharing arrangement, but it was trading, and therefore the industrial buildings allowance of 100% was due. An observation which is a salutary reminder of the legal process is that it has taken 11 years from when this laundry was first brought into use to now at the upper tribunal to get a degree of legal precedent and certainty about the availability of capital allowances. Disputes are best avoided if at all possible because it's a costly and often very lengthy process. The final item today relates to the lifetime pension cap and people potentially affected with aggregate pension savings exceeding $1.25 million at 5th April 2014 can make a protection election to preserve the pension allowances available to them. But this, of course, is subject to an overriding cap of $1.5 million. The development is that HMRC will not accept paper elections, and any election to claim the protection must be made online. So the podcast notes give more information as well as a link to the online form which must be completed if protection is sought. Thanks very much for listening.